God's church. Lord, thank you for those in attendance today. Thank you, Lord, that they came to hear your word. I pray that they receive a message today that they enjoy, that they take to heart, and then they see that that word of God is true. It just fits even 2,000 years ago to today. It's still alive and well. So thank you, Lord, and I ask blessings for us in this church. Angels to fly around our church and keep us safe, the hedge of protection, and may Jesus is welcome in this house all the time. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
P.S.C. Gregory, if you would be so kind, get the show on. Plastic in the ocean, and I get that, but She was with a group of people on the shoreline, and she turned around and she said, look at the ocean. Everybody say thank you to the ocean. And they're, thank you, ocean! Thank you! And they're all yelling, thank you, ocean! And I'm just thinking, really? How about the one that created the ocean? And then just see, they don't get it. We were talking before. They don't, I'm sorry, but they don't get it. Who created the ocean? God. What's so hard about saying, thank you, God?
No, apparently.
Oh, thank you, ocean. Thank you. That's really. Did you all say thank you to the pews when you sat down that they helped you up? Say thank you when you drove your car here. Thank you that the wheel turns to the left and the right. Thank you, ocean. And it just upsets my spirit. What's so hard about saying thank you, God, for that beautiful ocean that we should take care of? What was that?
She wouldn't be on the air anymore.
Well, I don't know what air she'd be on. Or she'd have a lot more followers. Thank you, ocean. Thank you, sunlight. Thank you, sun, for being 93 million miles away perfect. Because if you were 91 million miles away, we'd burn up. Thank you that we only have one moon. Thank you, moon. Some lady on TV said last week that the moon was just gas.
What?
Holy cow, they believe this. Brother Jim, did I scare you?
Congresswoman.
I'm sorry, but I love God so much. I love him more and more every day for what he does in my life. And I pray that you do too. So this is your house. This is his house, but you're his children, amen? And so I want you to be fed, but I want you to feel, and I love him so much.
Amen.
I just can't help it. few minutes. I promise not to make you kneel. I saw folks having mass on Sunday, and they were kneeling down on TV, and they were all kneeling down. I said, I won't ask y'all to kneel, but stand with us. Please stand and sing along with us as we ask God. And we ask you to have a closer walk with God. The greatest thing you can do in your life, Miss Faith, is to have a closer walk with God. Faith and Greg have a neighbor who gave up his life this week. Gave up his life with drugs, and it was so affecting them so much. And Miss Faith said she wanted to mention it, help her. That it's devastating to see somebody with no hope. That's exactly what you vision, somebody with no hope, and she tried to bring them to Christ. And yeah, I just don't want you to feel guilt, because the apostles tried to bring everybody to Christ, and they were walking with them. And they still, so you did what God called you to do. And we'll pray for his soul and his spirit. But people without hope, and I want to give you more hope than you ever thought possible. And the only way to do that is getting closer to him, the creator of the ocean. Just a closer look.
Let's
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Be seated, and let's have a nice day. Thank you for all being here. Brother John, good to see you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my water, Grace.
Well.
Let's get past the obvious. Happy birthday, Doreen! Because God calls you his children. How many know that?
how many people really know that? Go to another church and say, God called you his children. He didn't care what color you are, what nationality you are, you're his children. So for his children, we're one, amen? Why can't people understand? Some people talk about this Bible. And I get it. You know what I know now, and I start thinking, when they start talking about my Bible, they don't know anything in it, Miss Faith. They don't know what they're talking about because they never read it. If you never read it, don't tell me about it. Or you heard it from the baker, or your barber told you, or some people were. But if you know the Word, there's nothing but love and unity in the Word. There's peace in the Word and love. You don't get mad at people. You pray for people. They don't get that. Hallelujah. But he called them son in the faith. According to Paul, good ministers of Jesus Christ should reject what? Now, good ministers of Jesus Christ, and you look at me like, oh, you're, but when you leave here, guess who you are?
Ministers
of who?
Christ.
Yeah, not me. I'm done. Sunday's over. He said, according to Paul, good ministers of Jesus Christ should reject what? Old wives' tales? Legalism? Are popular ideas. According to Paul, good ministers of Jesus should reject what? Old wives' tales? Anybody? Old wives' tales. How about legalism? We should get rid of. How about popular ideas? We should reject popular ideas. According to Paul, good ministers should reject old wives' tales. It's kind of cool when you start thinking about it. Look it up, what that means. What did the dove carry in his beak when he returned to Noah's Ark? I know this one. I think. I know something. What did the dove carry in his beak when he returned to Noah's Ark? A fig leaf, an olive leaf, or a white flower? What did he carry? How many think a fig leaf? He carried a fig leaf. How many an olive leaf? He carried an olive leaf. How about a white flower? He carried a white flower. Nobody, I made that one up. Nobody knew. He carried an olive leaf in his beak. It could have been a fig leaf, right? That would have worked too, but he carried an olive leaf in his beak. Thank you, Lord. When Shem and Japheth became aware that their father Noah was drunken, undressed, naked, what did they do? When Shem and Japheth, as two of his sons, became aware that their father was drunk and undressed, what did they do? Nothing. Ran and told their brother Ham, or covered him with a garment. What did they do when they saw their father drunk? Noah was drunk, yeah. Noah was the sinner, yes. You know why? Because he's just like you and me. These people in the Bible, just like you and me. Imagine that. Genghis Khan was a sinner. Mario Lanza was a sinner. Bill Clinton. No, I'm going to. So what did they do when they saw the father drunk and undressed? Nothing. How many think they did nothing? How about Randy told the brother Ham? They got to go tell Ham. How about covering him with a garment? Yes, look at this church. Look at this church. Look at your brothers. They all can give yourself praise. Why do you do quizzes? First of all, I enjoy them. I hope you do too. I really do. But secondly, we learn things together. We learn things in the Bible. And maybe one of those questions will make you want to go back and read it. That's the best I can do. But I enjoy the quizzes because I've never seen them in church before. And they're all scripture, amen? As long as I'm doing quizzes on the Bible, I think we're walking in line of God, right? And if I'm walking in the line of God and you're walking in the line of God, the whole church is doing what?
Walking in the line of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You're looking at that. When they used to say that, remember that? Maybe you don't remember that? Walter, they used to say, here's looking at that. I know why they said raining cats and dogs. Anybody ever heard that story? Back in the day when they had cottages with the thatched roofs, everybody had them thatched roofs up on the cottage, and after a while the thatch kind of got soft and old, and you know how grass can be, and the cats and the dogs would love sleeping up there. Why? Because it was warm and the sunlight was in them.
Joel Osteen's got not me, Walter.
Okay, y'all ready? This is going to be different, but I need y'all to be, are y'all with me? How many want to hear a story? How about want to hear a story about politics in the Bible? About government in the Bible? About liars in the Bible? About false prophets in the Bible? About what happens when you follow God in one story? One story. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
I'm so excited. Gene, are you ready? Page one. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Ahab was the king of Israel. Two kingdoms, one country. Amen. Northern and southern. If you need to know, Judah was the southern kingdom and Israel was the northern kingdom. But they're two countries. They're one country, two kingdoms. So they had a war 3 years ago. See, they had a war against Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. See, and they won the war. And the king of Syria made a treaty with Israel. And the treaty said, he said, the cities which my fathers took from your fathers, I will restore, and you may set up marketplaces for yourself in Damascus. You see, the war was over, and Syria made the treaty with Israel, and everything was good. And Ahab said that it was Ramoth and Gilead. He said, we haven't taken it yet. Ours, we haven't, 3 years, we're supposed to go back and take the land that they took from us, but we haven't taken it yet. So he called Jehoshaphat on the phone. I said, hey, come on, I want to talk to you. So Jehoshaphat goes there and sees him, and he says to Jehoshaphat, he said, will you go with me and fight? We're going to go back, and we're going to fight, and we're going to take it back. Would you go with me? Jehoshaphat says, I am as you are, my people, my horses, as of yours. So what does that mean? Yes. He said, of course I'll go with you. So, but Jehoshaphat says one more thing. One more little thing. He said, let's inquire for the word of the Lord today. Pretty good. He said, go get your prophets. And we'll ask the prophets, you know, just to be sure. How many of us want to be sure you're in line with God? He said, okay, we're going to go. I'm going to go with you, but let's ask. He had 400 of them. How many? 400.
Wow.
Gathered his prophets. He gets his prophets all around him. And Ahab says, shall we go or shall we stay? Isn't that a song?
Yeah.
And the prophets say, go. The Lord will deliver you. Loud roar, amen.
Yeah.
Go, the Lord will deliver you to 400 of them. But Jehoshaphat says to Ahab, said, wait a minute. Isn't there one more prophet? Isn't that interesting? He said, there's 400 there. He said, isn't there one more prophet of the Lord? And Ahab, this is what he said. Ahab said, yeah, there's one. Ahab said, but I hate him. I hate him because he never gives me a good prophecy. He said, there is one, but I hate him. He never prophesies good concerning me. Imagine that. Never prophesied. I don't even like talking to the guy because he never talks good about me. He never praises me. He never congratulates me. And the Bible said, he said, I hate him. And Jehoshaphat says to him, let not the king say such a thing. Man, he could imagine that. He said, oh, God, you're talking about God's people, God's prophet. Don't say that like that. Don't think a thing like that. So Ahab said, they sent for, and the man's name and the other character in this story, his name is Micaiah. M-I-C-A-I-A-H. Micaiah. He's a prophet of the Lord. So they call for Micaiah. So while they're calling for Micaiah, because he's in prison. Think about that. A servant of the Lord, a prophet of the Lord, and where is he?
In prison.
Who put him there? Ahab. Why? Because he hated him. Did he do anything wrong? No, except he didn't speak good about him. That sound like politics to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So while they're doing that, going to get him, the kings put on their robes. And they sit at the gate in Samaria, which in other words, they sat in front of everybody. They sat right at the gate where everybody could come around. And there's the 400 prophets. And they're all there and all the people are, oh, there he is. And He may have been, and it didn't say this, but I gathered that he was the head of all the 400 prophets of the Lord. So this Zedekiah guy, he makes horns out of iron. You know what? He makes this thing, and it's got horns like iron. Iron horns, and he runs around, and he's running around with them like they're a weapon. And he said, it's a sign, he said. You shall gore the Syrians till they are destroyed. And went, ah. Right? 400 prophets say, go, go, go. The Lord will deliver. Y'all praising. Are y'all happy? They're all happy. A messenger goes to Micaiah. Where's Micaiah? What did he do? Nothing. Spoke against the king. Imagine that. He hated him. So the messenger goes to Micaiah, and he said something very interesting. He said, listen, pay attention. Follow the plan. You hear what everybody else is saying? Say that. Don't start any trouble today. We don't want any trouble today. You see, the kings, they're happy. Just give them what they want. Say whatever they want. Just do it. Sound familiar? Does to me. The words, your words like the others, stick to the script. Imagine that. And Micaiah says, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you get in trouble, it might send you back to jail. As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. So, okay, here comes Micaiah now. They're the king in their robes, and all the people, everybody make noise. I want to hear 400 people. Help me out a little bit. Make some noise. Come on, Adam. You're all people here. Gather around. I want to hear what he's going to say. Woo! So, Micaiah comes in the king's, and they say, shall we go, Micaiah? Shall we go and fight the Syrians? Shall we go and deliver? What would we do? And Micaiah looks and says, go and prosper. He says, go and prosper. Now, if you were Ahab, would you be happy with that? Isn't that what Ahab wants to hear? Anybody say amen? He says, go and prosper. But wait. Ahab says to him, this is cool. He says, how many times have I commanded you the truth? How many times have I told you to tell me the truth and nothing but the truth? Isn't that interesting? This is what he says. He heard what he heard in Micaiah. He heard the insult, the way, you know, the sarcasm. Yeah, go ahead and fight. He heard that. Now listen to this. He heard that. He understood the sarcasm. He understood the mocking tones of Micaiah saying, yeah, go ahead and go. Knock yourself out. That's what you want to do. That's what you want to do anyway. Amen? See that? He recognized the sarcasm. He heard it. And he says, how many times have I had to tell you to be truthful? How are we doing? All right, this is different today. Everybody in front here with me? All right. So Micaiah speaks the true prophecy. Are you ready? He says, I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep with no shepherd. Israel will be defeated and their shepherd would perish. That's a little different. Somebody right? Israel will be defeated and the shepherd would perish. I love this. Ahab, King Ahab, what does he say? Thee. I told you so. He never speaks anything good about me. He always speaks evil about me. 400 talking heads. 400 false prophets. 400 liars about who? God. They call prophets of the Lord, 400 of them are doing what? Lying. 400 to 1. Why? Well, you can only assume that they were afraid of losing their job. Sound familiar? They were afraid of losing their place. They were afraid of losing their favor with the king. And there was hatred for the messenger of God. Isn't that interesting today? There was hatred for the messenger of who? God.
The truth.
Just like today. And now I say 400 to 1 and they were afraid of losing their favor. And I wrote this. I wasn't going to sure I'd add it, but it kind of reminded me of two people that we've known well in our time. One was Elvis, and one was Michael Jackson. They wanted medication they weren't supposed to have. They wanted pills they weren't supposed to have. They wanted things that would cause them to lose their life, and some doctor gave it to them. Why? Because they would lose their favor with them. They would lose, oh, I don't want Michael mad at me. I don't want Elvis mad at me. I'll give him these. It's like that. That's how I kind of saw that. 400 liars calling themselves men of God, but lying to them about what God said. They didn't even ask. Notice the Bible never said that the prophets went back and prayed about it or inquired to the Lord. They just gave their answer because they knew what the king wanted to what? Hear. False prophets, lying spirits, Satan's army. Anybody ever call them that? Glasses. 400 strong. I'm going to read a little bit. Then Micaiah said, therefore, Walter,
final word.
Hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? For one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Micaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Lying angels in heaven. Have anybody ever heard about lying angels in heaven? Sound a little strange to y'all? I'm going to kick you back to the book of Job. I want you to listen to this scripture. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. God allowed them to say what they wanted to say, just like he allows us to do what we want to do when we don't call on him. When we start to do really bad things and he's just sort of, that's what you want to do, that's how you want to be, I'm going to allow it. That's kind of scary when you think about it. I would never want God to allow me to do anything that was wrong, but I pray about everything I can think of. But there, God didn't send lying spirits, for the lying spirit said, I will go and I will lie to the king, him and all the other false prophets. I found that to be fascinating when I read that little bit I just read to you. That even angels in heaven, and then you read Job and Satan. How many remember Job? Satan's walking around and looking around and talking to God. There are lying angels in heaven just being around God. He allowed them. They had access to heaven. And then you had Ahab. But today, people want to be deceived. This is so deep right now, this part of it. People want to be deceived. I guess they want to be lied to. They want to be told something that sounds good here, not here. That sounds good here and not here. Not in their brain, but in their ear. They want to be deceived. deceived. And God said, if you want to be deceived, I will send somebody to deceive you. Since people want to be deceived, God would give them exactly what they wanted. How many ever said, God, give me what I want? Well, some people want to be deceived. They want what they want, the way they want it, when they want it, and that's it. And they won't accept any other answer. They won't accept any other version of the story. And these people wanted to be deceived. Just like in Ahab's time, we have people today. We have unfaithful prophets today. Amen. We have unfaithful preachers today. And I'm saying it right here. And you can take it home with you. We have unfaithful preachers in this world. Why? Because people want to hear that. People are going there to hear that because that's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what God has to say. So God said, I got plenty of those people, and he sends them out. What lies ahead? According to the Bible, destruction lay ahead. Okay, let's get back to the story. So Zedekiah, remember I said he might have been the heavy big guy, the leader of the 400 prophets? Strikes Micaiah. Now Micaiah said all this, right? And he said, I saw the Lord and I saw that. So Zedekiah walks up to Micaiah and guess what he does? He hits him across the face. And then he says this, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to you to speak to you? Oh, big shot talking to God. Which way did that come from? He was insulting him, of course, mocking him, making fun. But why? Why? Let me tell you why. Can I tell you why? Let me tell you why. It was all he had left. Could he speak against Micaiah? No. Could he call Micaiah a liar? No. Did he inquire to God about what they should do? No. So he heard that. And all he had left in his defense was to reach out and smack him. Because he had nothing else. He couldn't defend his argument. He couldn't stand on what he believed. So he reached out. Zedekiah had no answer. No, nothing. No defense in his argument. So he strikes out in anger. Anybody see that today? People don't have an answer for something and they start reaching out and hurting other people, destroying things because they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear, how they want to hear it. And if you don't agree with them, they go out and trash you. They trash your schools. They trash the streets. They trash the police car because it goes against what they want. Amen? You're seeing it with your own eyes. When people don't have an answer, can't defend what they say, they get so angry that they lash out. That's all they have left. So you know this is interesting because God's just given this to me. When that's all they have left, there's not much further to go. Hang on. When that's all they have left, God's about ready to do something. How many know that God always does something? He always does something, what he's going to do. So we're at this point now that something's going to happen. So he said, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you? Now, Micaiah could have got mad and lashed out back or said something, but this is what he said. His answer, you will see on the day when you go into your inner chambers to hide. You will see on the day when you go into an inner chamber and hide. What's he saying? Enjoy today. Your time's coming. That's what he said. See, that's what he said. Oh, big shot, you just reached out and hit me. That's it. That's all you got. You got nothing left. I felt that. Now you're going to go back and hide in your room one day because the truth's about to happen. So enjoy your day today because your time's coming. And guess what they did? Guess what they did to Micaiah? Ahab did what? Sent them back to prison. Anybody see this today? I see this today. They sent him back. What did he do wrong?
Nothing.
Truth.
Hallelujah. And he said, feed him bread and water. What he says is bread and water of affliction. Anybody ever read that? And then he says, feed him bread and water. Ready? Listen, this is good. Until I come back. And bread and water of affliction simply
until I come back. I love this. Listen to what Micaiah says. I love this. If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken to me. I love that. He says to the king, if you ever return in peace, then God hasn't spoken to me. Did y'all hear what he said? You think Ahab heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. If you ever return in peace, then God hasn't spoken to me. Okay, to the battle they go. Everybody say, to the battle.
To the battle.
Yeah. Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Wait a minute. Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, he said, Jehoshaphat, come here. I'm going to put on regular clothes, like you look like the other guys in the army, and you put on your robe, and you get on that chariot, and we'll go to battle that way. See, I'm going to put on just regular clothes. No gun belt. They didn't have that, did they? I'm a warrior, and I'm going to carry a sword, and walk around the soldiers, and you put on your robe, and you go regular clothes. Right? So everybody gets it. And by what do you think happened? Jehoshaphat agrees. Okay, this is good, right? You got the same thing. But here's something that you would miss if you didn't stop thinking about it. Why would Ahab say that? Ask yourself this. Why would Ahab say, I'm going to do this and you do that? Maybe because he heard Micaiah? Anybody? Maybe because he heard the prophet Micaiah and he wouldn't say anything, but he's thinking, maybe he's right. I'm not going to admit it, but maybe he heard him. He said, well, do this. Maybe this will work. You never know. Must have heard Micaiah's prophecy. Because he knew him, amen. Where's Micaiah in jail? Who sent him to jail? Ahab. Why? Because he hates him. But he knew him. Secretly believed. Thought this just might work. Here's the other part. Jehoshaphat was either not very smart or what? Trusted God. He had trust in God. How many know when you have faith in God, you walk through the storms, right? When you have faith in God, nothing formed against you shall prosper. When you have faith in God, you can do how many things?
Nothing.
So he's sure. I'll do that. That sounds fine to me. He didn't. He never gave it much thought. So he agrees. Interesting. How you doing, Gene? You with me?
Yeah.
All right. So the battle begins. Everybody, come in here. The battle begins. Grab them, shake your elbows. No, you guys are not good players. Ben-Hadad commands his Syrian army. This is what the king of Syria says. Are you ready? Fight against no one, big or small. Fight against no one giant, no one big, or no one great or small, but only with Ahab, the king of Israel. He tells his army, I don't want you fighting with the soldiers. Leave them alone. I don't care about Jehoshaphat. We want Ahab. Period. That's what he tells them. So who do they see first? Sitting on the throne with his robe on a chariot. They see Jehoshaphat. Look, it's Ahab. Let's go get him. And they start chasing after him. And they get closer to him. And they're coming closer to him. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat cries out. And then they say, wait a minute, that's not Ahab. They heard him crying out to God. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? I'll get to that in a minute. But they heard Jehoshaphat cry out to God. And what did they do? The same thing. Let's go around. They left him. The chariots, the Bible said, turn back. Jehoshaphat is saved. Jehoshaphat is what?
Saved.
And I'm going to read you from 2 Chronicles. Now wait a minute. It was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore, they surrounded him to attack, but Jehoshaphat called out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. Who saved Jehoshaphat? God. Who had given God? Jehoshaphat. That's why he did what he did, because he had great faith. Hallelujah. The word is repent. Turn back to God. Was Jehoshaphat in the battle? Was he according to God's will? No. Was he in the wrong place? Yeah. Anybody ever been in the wrong place? Anybody ever turned from God? Yeah. No, but sometimes you have to stop and you have to call out to God and you have to repent. He called out to God. While he was being chased, his life was in danger, and he called out and said, "Lord, save me," and God saved him. He will save you. He will save people we pray for. He will save this nation. I believe that. While there is still time, it also says in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God, their Father. Wow. God did so much with Jehoshaphat because he had faith. But God repented. When you go the wrong way, start calling out to God. Start asking for help. He sees that. He will answer you. Amen? He will answer. I know we're praying for this nation. I know he will answer. I know whatever you think is injustice, God understands and he sees it. You might be angry, but think he's about ready to act. Why? Because people are reaching out and striking each other. So a certain man draws his bow at random. Where's David today? Hitting the king of Israel, hitting Ahab, a shot, random shot, and Ahab dies that evening. In your bulletin, 2 Kings 20:42. Let me read that. I'm almost done. Then he said to him, "Thus says the Lord," he's talking to Ahab, "because you have let slip out of your hand a man who I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall be for his life and your people for his people." Wow. God spoke that to Ahab about Ben-Hadad. So you got Ahab turning away from God. False prophets, fallen angels. There's a price for that. Somebody say amen, please. Amen. They wanted self-gain. Micaiah's in jail. Ahab is dead. I'll read you these things. 1,000 may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Stand back. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Stand back. In darkness, evil fights, till the light overcomes. And who is the light?
Jesus.
Jesus is the light. Give him praise. I love that story. It takes you 6 minutes to read the story, but it takes you a while to really understand it. Start making little notes and seeing what you're writing and what you're reading. Because it's fascinating. That story's today, man. You can see that, and how you see it will be different than how I see it. And you can have different thoughts and ideas, but it's still 2,000 years ago, works today. You see that false prophecies. You see the false teachers. You see people so angry that they're lashing out. When people lash out at you, that's all they have left. Amen? And he's getting ready. I'm not talking about earthquakes and all, but he's getting ready to set things right. I believe that. Can you all believe with me? I hope so. Thank you.
Yay.
Brother John, good to see you. We take this morning in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on that cross. Not even on the cross, but the beating he took the day before, the whipping. And, oh my goodness. He did it for you. For all of us who will believe. To find the sins of the world. By his stripes we are healed. And all he wants is for us to redo this in remembrance of him. How can you do that without him? So this morning, church, in Jesus' name. Jehoshaphat was doing the wrong thing. Maybe he had the right reasons, but he was doing it the wrong way, the wrong thing. And he called out to God, and God saved him. God directed him. God healed him. Brought him back to the middle of the road. God saved him. Whatever we do today, if we go the wrong way, God will save you. Call out to him. If you're angry, call out to him. If you're frustrated, call out to him. He will save you. He will heal you. He will bring you to his peace. Jehoshaphat had a lot of faith. He knew that. Y'all laughed when I told you what he did. But he did it because his faith in God said, nothing formed against me shall prosper. I have God more than what more do I need? He believed that. And when he got in trouble, the first person he called out to was God. God answers your prayers. God answers you. He sees. He knows. You have to have faith and trust when you pray and stand on the word of God that he hears you. He's that kind of God. Forgive us for our iniquities of this week, Lord, thoughts and actions and deeds that separated us from you even for a second, or grieved the Holy Spirit that's within us. Thank you, Lord, for your healing and your mercy. As Jesus said, drink, for this is his blood shed for you. In Jesus' name we shall drink. What a story. What a God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each and every person who came to this church this morning. My prayer is that each and every one of them will be blessed beyond their wildest imagination this week in things that they're praying for. Answer prayers and needs met. Joy in their heart. And even greater than that, Lord, that they will have the peace and the comfort of knowing that you're with them. Knowing that they know. Thank you, Lord, for this church in Jesus' name. Give them praise, church. Please. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and give you peace and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you that peace. You know by heart, don't you?
Almost.
God, just so beautiful. Brother Zippy, we need you to ask God to bless America.
You're the nicest man you'll ever meet. You, Zippy Johnson.
God bless America.